It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Welcome back to the Pack-A-Day Radio.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Radio show, good morning, everyone. Thanks so much for being here. My name is Andy Herman. Always appreciate you joining us Monday through Friday from 8 to 9 right here on The Fan. Reminder that the Mason Crosby Show is coming up with Mitch Nellis from 9 to 11 today. And we've got Camille Davis at 10 a.m. Locked On Bucks to talk some Milwaukee Bucks. An interesting weekend. I had the opportunity to attend that game on Saturday night, which was an awesome game. Last night, we don't need to talk about that as much. The Thunder are really, really, really good team in Milwaukee, coming off of back-to-backs going against the Thunder. Let's just say it did not end well. But Camille Davis will have you covered at 10 a.m. today. Looking forward to that conversation with Mason, who's back today, Mitch, and Camille at, again, 10 a.m. Right now, we're being joined by Mike Wall, Process to Perform channel on YouTube. The Block Party podcast is a must-watch every single time. You can find him on social media at MikeWall68. Mike, it is wonderful to be back chatting with you. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on, man.
Yeah, I always appreciate it. I know What's initially and immediately on Packers' minds as we have you on today, or Packers fans' minds, I should say, as we have you on today, is Aaron Banks and Green Bay signing of him. Obviously, a big-time addition, four-year, $77 million deal to come play guard for Green Bay. Just your initial reaction to this signing. I know you've broken down the tape already, so what can he bring to Green Bay?
Yeah, it's a super interesting signing, I think, is the way you put it. You already have a left guard in Elgin Jenkins. Elgin's a really good left guard in this league. He's pound for pound a better football player than, or at least he's put better tape on film than Aaron Banks has. So it'll be interesting to see how they move these guys around. But Aaron's a big body guy. He's a really good mover. He plays a little bit high. He's kind of, and because of that, he can't really stick on blocks like maybe as you'd like. The hard thing about these kind of players is you're in the friendliest offense in the league in Kyle Shanahan's offense, and it's better to watch him maybe while he's not playing next to Trent Williams versus when he is.
Right.
Because Trent just does so many amazing things. And so, Aaron's a really good guard in this league. I think when he comes in, you're probably looking at the fourth best player on the Packers offensive line as it looks right now, which is probably surprising for guys when you start looking at his contract. But that's neither here nor there. You pay what you got to pay in the free agent world to get the guys that you want, and then you just hope they produce when they show up. So it's one of those signings that it maybe raises the eyebrows a little bit. At least it did for me. But at the same time, having good players on the football team, regardless of what position they are and how you want to kind of allocate those across the line, that's not our job, but certainly having more good guys in the room is better than not.
No, it certainly is. And we know, and certainly just watching Philly last year, how important a really good offensive line was. We saw Green Bay against Philly when they lose Elton and when they lose, Josh Myers and some of those players over the course of a game, just how devastating that was. So having a player like that certainly is going to help this team in some real way. What is your thought on how big of an upgrade this is, or if it's an upgrade over the departing Josh Myers at center? Obviously, there's some movement. Elton probably goes to center, et cetera. But overall, how is this an upgrade for Green Bay, if it is at all?
Yeah, and let me just say, I know everybody's saying Elton's going to center, and if he is, fantastic. But to me, that's just a wild assumption because, if I'm Elton Jenkins, and I know that my contract's going to be up at some point, guards are making like $6 million a year more than centers are right now.
Yeah.
So it makes no financial sense unless he thinks he's going to be first team All Pro, and there's all these things that come along with that maybe. But he's a better guard. He's the best guard on the team right now. He just happens to be the best center as well. Having said all that, when you look at this offensive line, you've got two tackles that you feel good about. You have Elgin Jenkins. You just brought in a guy who's definitely going to start at Aaron Banks. Now, he could start at right guard. He's kind of that body anyways. It looks like maybe he could play on the right side. Sean Ryan right now is just by default of Josh leaving is your lowest rated offensive lineman on the current starting four. And so you move him to center, or you look at Jacob Monk, move them to center. Look, when you've got like four good guys around that center, you don't really need like a huge earth mover to be successful at the offensive line anymore. Like the center position, if they can get the calls, they can snap to the ball on time, et cetera. And you've got, a 320-plus pound guy on one side and a guy who's been Pro Bowl multiple times on the other side. Like you're going to be able to hide that position a little bit better. And so for those reasons, I kind of look at this like maybe he moves to right guard, talk about Aaron Banks. And then Sean, Monk, the rest of those guys kind of fight it out for the center position. I could be way off, but again, it doesn't make sense to get worse at two positions and move Elgin Jenkins.
Yeah, the initial reporting is that Banks at left guard, Elgin at center, and then probably I'm assuming Myers and Morgan at that point would be kind of competing at right guard. But we've seen in the past where even Green Bay has plans to do something and then they actually get it in, and we know how they continue to talk about getting the best five guys in the line. So I could easily see that changing over the course of time once they get those guys in the building and start like maneuvering the pieces around and seeing what fits best. They're going to try a billion different things and just kind of figure out what one ultimately works best when they start the season. So hopefully they get it right, most importantly. Just really quick, you mentioned on Banks, one of the things I thought that did stand out on tape, and you brought it up right away, was just his ability to sustain blocks. He gets to his spots a lot. He's a really great athlete, but then you kind of see defenders slip his blocks over the course of it. You mentioned him playing a little bit too upright, probably being able to play a little bit with better pad level, but why is that to you, that he maybe just can't sustain some of those blocks? You see him and you're like, all right, he got to spot, everything looks good, and again maybe some footwork and handwork things that you can kind of work on, but why did he maybe struggle with that a little bit?
Well, it's footwork and handwork. I mean, you know, really, it's you know, how you get to confrontation determined by the terms of confrontation. We just talked, you know, it's very, when you watch film, you know, you kind of start ticking boxes. And like you said, it's one thing to say he got to a spot, but how did he get there? What angle is he at? How's, you know, how's the hip height? All of those things. That actually is what really matters when you start breaking down offensive line play. It's like,
sure,
how do you enter into that contact position? And he just doesn't, he enters with an up, really upright torso a lot. And because of that, guys are able to slip him, get underneath, or you know, when he gets kind of overextended because of that upright body posture, your feet get a little bit wider, and it's difficult to sustain. Now, the thing is, like, all these things are fixable, but if they're not being preached every day, like his offensive, in that offensive lineman that he was with in San Francisco, like, that is a really big scheme room, right? There, and the teaching is very basic. You know, get on the track and just start running. So they don't really think about, you know, where your hand placement is, you know, how that second step should look like. They're not really sticklers for detail there. And he's, again, you're playing against this guy who's, like, generationally, you know, arguably the best left tackle we've seen in decades, right? So there's all these kind of things that go with playing next to a guy like that maybe just athletically you don't quite understand. And so your learning curve is a little bit different than everybody else's, if that makes sense.
Sure.
Yeah, but, you know, ultimately, it's the details of the game that make you the player that you are when you're, like, a good, not great athlete, like most, you know, offensive linemen, offensive guards in particular. And he's just one of those guys that he can do a lot of things really well. He relies on his athleticism a lot. If he wants to kind of take that next step and be, you know, one of the top guys, even on this Green Bay Packers offensive line, he's just going to have to really spend some time working on and refining his technique. If he does that, you know, he's certainly got the physical tools to be successful.
Yeah, he certainly does. We're being joined by Mike Wall, Process to Perform, the Block Party podcast, of course, former Packers great guard. You can find him on social media at MikeWall68. I want to ask you then about kind of that Josh Myers deal. He ends up getting 1 year, $2 million to go to the Jets. They've got three kind of starting interior offensive linemen in John Simpson, Tippmann at center, and then Elijah Vera Tucker at right guard. Are you surprised there wasn't a little bit more of a market for him and that maybe he's even taking a backup sort of deal in New York to go over there? Like, this is a very interesting situation, and I'm kind of surprised he didn't get a little bit more.
Yeah, honestly, I was shocked that he didn't get more than that. And if you're not going to get more than that, like, you know, why not just come back in Green Bay and try to fight out for a starting spot here? I thought it was $4 million, but even if it's less, that makes it more. Well, you know, Joe Tippmann's an up and coming guard in this league. I think I worked with him a little bit last year. He's got some talent too. And Elijah Vera Tucker, obviously coming out of USC, is a real talented guy. So for Josh to. For Josh to take that deal, the market must have really spoken to him. You know, maybe there's some, you know, extenuating circumstances we don't know about, but that one really didn't sit right for a number of reasons with me, and I'm still kind of shocked that that's all he got. That's all he didn't even, you know, go for a starting position. It's a bizarre thing. I didn't think Josh was a fantastic player, but I certainly think he's a competent starter in the league for a lot of these teams have terrible centers. I mean, he's certainly better than that.
Yeah, I thought so too. And again, I understood, again, maybe Green Bay moving on and going in a different direction. But it was initially reported as a 1 year, $3.5 million deal. When it came out, it's actually a 1 year, $2 million deal. So $1.1 million fully guaranteed. But yeah, definitely less than I was expecting for sure. And again, just a very interesting situation. And surprised too that at that price, Green Bay didn't find a way to maybe just get him back and like you said, kind of compete for that center job and just give them a few more options. Because as you know, you can never have enough depth along that offensive line. You're rejoined by Mike Wall, Process to Perform channel on YouTube. At MikeWall68 on social media. Of course, wasn't the only free agent signing. Nate Hobbs is coming in this secondary for Green Bay. Have you had a chance to watch the tape yet? And if so, or either way, just kind of what's your impression of the Packers bringing in Nate Hobbs for the secondary?
Well, you like it. Again, it's one of those pickups where you're just trying to figure out how everybody's going to fit, you know, given who's on the roster right now. Is that move Keyshawn Nixon outside of the slot back into a corner position? I think, what are they going to do with Jair Alexander? But you know, the big question for me here is you bring in a guy who's been a really good slot corner, and I'm of the opinion that your three best players in the secondary, not named Jair Alexander, are those three safeties, right? Two of them are rookies last year, and it's like, is Bullard going to find a way to get – let me rephrase that. I feel like Evan Williams and Bullard are going to be on the field, and I just don't know where. And I just think those guys are young playmakers that have to be on the field as often as possible. And I don't think we're just going to start running a lot of dime defense. So it's like, where does everybody fit? Is Hobbs going to be an outside guy? We're going to keep Bullard kind of in that slot position. and Williams back at safety with McKinney. Like, how does it all fit in, right? But on face value, your defensive back room got better, and you can never have enough good players in those rooms. So that part of it is always fantastic. But, you know, Andy, the real question here is, like, why didn't we sign a defensive end? I know most of them got picked by their own teams, but good Lord, you just sat here and went, you want to really make a dent on this team defensively, you know, from any standpoint, go get a really, really refined pass rusher that can make a real impact on this defense, because that's what they're missing the most. And for a number of market circumstances, they just weren't able to do that. So hopefully they can pick somebody up in the draft.
Yeah, that's, I think, the big thing. And the thing that kind of stuns me about this is right before free agency hit, when Goody talked at the combine, he specifically talked about the front four of the defensive line and basically said, we have to get better. We have to be able to make an impact with the front four. That group needs to significantly improve. Like, just was very aggressive talking about how the front four needs to improve. And you hear him talking, he's like, oh, clearly he's going to be pretty aggressive in finding maybe another piece for this defensive line, whether it be on the interior at defensive end. I know it's a pretty strong draft at defensive tackle and defensive end, but as we've seen in the past, Rashawn Gary, LVN, Devontae Wyatt, there's no guarantee you pick up a guy in the first round and they just have this immediate impact too. So I was very, very surprised that they did not. I thought that would have been number 1A on their list of players to go out. Again, it's a two-way street, so there's no guarantee. But if you're just looking at it, 4 years, 77 for Aaron Banks, 4 years, 76 for a Josh Sweat. And again, I know it's maybe Josh Sweat didn't want to be in Green Bay. We don't know the whole story there. But just would have been interesting to maybe use some of those resources and go get a top, you know, defensive end maybe instead in that situation.
Yeah, it's always interesting to understand what they really value in the building, because we're all speculating. We can only just kind of report what we see with our eyes. The defensive line in particular, I think they brought in a new coach, and maybe that's what he was referencing.
Yep.
Because they really haven't looked like they have much of a refined pass rush game. Like, individually, they don't really have a refined pass rush game, player to player. But Goody has brought in guys that, and high draft picks recently that don't, it's not that they even live up to their draft status. It's that they maybe were coming in, nobody thought they were going to be first round picks. And so you've wasted a lot of draft, not wasted, but you've spent a lot of draft capital on guys that don't have that kind of production. And I don't think it's their fault. I don't think they were ever, supposed to be first round draft, or at least, like Lucas Van Ness was probably not a 13th pick in the draft guy. It doesn't not a knock on him. I wasn't either, but it is what it is. And so now you have this huge gap there. And unfortunately, it's just like really good offensive linemen, like really, really, really good offensive linemen were not available. Right, because teams don't let them go. It's the same thing with these defensive ends. They find a way to go back to their own team more often than not.
Yeah, very much so, and I think that made it very difficult. Khalil Mack stayed with his team. There were rumors that Trey Hendrickson, Max Crosby, Myles Garrett were going to be available via trade. The latter two were not. They signed with their own team, and it sounds like Hendrickson's trending in that direction as well. So a lot of those players, Osa Odighizuwa, defensive tackle for the Cowboys, stayed with his own team. So what looked like at one point there was going to be a lot of free agents available just didn't become that way. Milton Williams, who was available at defensive tackle, gets a just massive contract from the Patriots, who had all the money in the world to spend. I think that market dried up pretty quick, and it unfortunately left Green Bay without being able to address it, and now probably needing to be something they attack rather aggressively in the draft. And maybe they're due, Mike. Maybe they're due for that big time immediate defensive end, defensive tackle who can come in and give them some big moments, just like the Rams last year, obviously getting Jared Verse and who's the defensive tackle from Florida State as well. It doesn't matter. But yeah, the two big defensive linemen that the Rams got last year, Braden Fisk, there we go. Maybe Green Bay can do something similar, but that'd be huge for them. A couple quick ones before we get you out of here, Mike. Again, follow Mike on the Process to Perform channel on YouTube, the Block Party podcast, and of course on social media at MikeWall68. Packers did some things with their own free agents. They bring back Brandon McManus and Isaiah McDuffie. Meanwhile, Eric Wilson heads to Minnesota. Corey Ballantyne heads to Indianapolis. Eric Stokes goes to the Raiders. AJ Dillon to the Eagles, and TJ Slayton to the Bengals. Thoughts on which ones they prioritize to keep and some of these players that are maybe heading out?
Obviously keeping McManus is kind of a no-brainer these days. He had a good season and proved his worth. I love Isaiah McDuffie. I think he's exactly what you want on your football team. He kind of he's just a meat and potatoes lunch pail guy. He plays downhill, has the right demeanor, you know, not the most talented guys. Probably, you know, obviously with Cooper playing the way he did last year, he's not going to see as many snaps, but I really, really value him and what he brings, I think, to that linebacker room and then also the demeanor he has on the defense. So those two guys are fantastic. You know, in every year you have to kind of cycle through these different players. The only guy, the guy I'm most happy for is TJ Slayton, because I just think he had a really good year last year. Would have loved to have seen him come back. I know he doesn't have numbers, but he's just kind of, he plays a position where you don't have a lot of numbers, but you watched in you know, 6-7 plays a game, he was really dominant when they needed him to be, particularly in the second half of last season. So, you know, you hate to see him go, but you're happy that he goes and gets a deal that he likes and hopefully on to better things for him.
Yeah, with all those guys, hopefully they find teams in a new coat of paint that work out well for them and for Green Bay. Hopefully they can find some guys to replace them that are even better than the production that they got from some of those players a season ago, and it works out for everyone. That would be nice. Hopefully that's the world that we end up living in, but we shall see. Yeah. Mike, I cannot thank you enough as always. I always appreciate talking ball with you and learn something every single time. So tell all of our listeners where we can find all of your incredible work.
Yeah, just check out the Prostitute Perform channel. I'm slow moving right now on the draft stuff. We're really busy over here in Germany, Andy, with this the European League of Football. It's about to start up, but I'll get some more draft things out when I can. And you know, certainly there's a lot of action going on in the NFL and in Packerland. So keep up with that. Follow me at MikeWall68 on Twitter. Thanks, man.
Yeah, you bet. Thank you as well. We'll talk to you again soon. And make sure again to follow Mike over on social media at MikeWall68, and he'll update you with everything that's going on. He does some phenomenal film breakdown, and right now there's some great film breakdown of Aaron Banks out there as well. So make sure to check that out. When we come back, we've still got a lot to get to. We're going to be going over our best and worst of the Packers offseason so far. Again, this is the Packaday Radio Show, live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. And we'll be right back right after this.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.